All right, welcome back to my favorite hour of Cairo Nights with Stacey Jo Rost, a.k.a. Do I Want to Talk About Conspiracy Theories? Stacey Jo Rost, I got a conspiracy theory for you. I despise the media outlet, The Daily Wire, with every fiber of my being. I don't like those people. I don't like their company. Why do I keep getting ads for The Daily Wire? I don't want to subscribe to their premium content. I don't care what they do. I don't care about their propaganda. I want them out of my life, Stacey Jo Rost. Explain this to me.
Wait, this is the conspiracy theory we're doing?
No. I have a different one.
Well, you know what I'm betting is the algorithm, the man, can tell probably that you are right-leaning or quite right-leaning.
Oh, yeah.
So they probably assume that you're going to, you know what I mean? If you're reading other, you know, things that are tied to any kind of right-leaning shows, they're probably like, he'll like this.
Yeah, well, I think so, but it's a real shame because I despise those people and I hate their platform and I hate everything that they stand for. So, moving on from that, Stacey Jo Rost.
Okay. I hate the sound of Ben Shapiro's voice, so I could always
so
complain.
Much. One of these days, Stacey, I really got to just discharge and disabuse people of the notion that Ben Shapiro is a champion of conservative politics. The guy's a total hack. But more importantly, yesterday, Stacey Jo Rost, this is other official business we have to get to before we get to this conspiracy theory that I want to go down the rabbit hole with you on. Yesterday, there was a gentleman on the text line who wrote in and he said, man, I love Stacey Jo Rost. I wish that I could meet Stacey Jo Rost in real life one of these days. She's so funny. She's so smart. She's so talented.
Yeah.
Stacey's the best thing that Cairo has to offer on my show, Stacey, not Stacey Jo Rost's show. Cairo Nights with Jack Stein in the title, not with Stacey Jo, with me. And yet, Stacey Jo Rost, this guy has the audacity on my platform to say that you're the best part of my show, Stacey.
You know what? Jack, if it helps, I've been at training camp every single day that there's been camp, and there are fans there. And when I walk by the fans and Jake is with me, they go, hey, Jake Heaps. And he'll come over and they'll be like, I listen to you all the time. And I'm like, it's Jake and Stacey.
Yeah.
I'm here too. I'm standing right here. And they're like, they completely ignore me. They're like, I get this girl out of here. She's boring and annoying. Yeah. So, yeah.
Jake, we don't want to talk to your girlfriend. Get her away. Is that what basically
happens?
God,
get this girl out. No, I think they know Jake. Jake's a former player.
Yeah.
He's a local guy who was a big high school star. And so I think they're just like, Jake!
Yeah.
And already he and Curtis are like little brothers to me that annoy me every single day. And that one really grinds my gears.
Yeah, they see Jake Heaps and they're like, Jake! Jake!
Yeah! That's Jake. Exactly what they do.
So what I got yesterday, Stacey Jo Rost, is I got a death threat yesterday, which isn't the first.
What?
It's not the first. I'm certainly not. It's sure it's not the last.
Never get anything. This is like in college, my roommate thought she had a stalker, and I was like...
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know,
why can't anybody ever stalk? I mean, I was stalked in college. It's really actually quite flattering when you think about it. But more importantly...
No one ever chooses me. I'm making a joke about something horrible.
I know. But, so,
it's my lack of confidence.
I got a death threat yesterday. And the thing is that when you're like me and you're a world-renowned talent, and when you are like me and people love, respect, and fear you...
Of course.
You're going to get a couple of death threats your way. Now, the best one I ever got in my life, Stacey Jo Rost, was from a guy who, last radio station that I worked at, he called me to let me know with a smile on his face that he was going to break every bone in my body and light my house on fire. Yeah, true story. So, the best part about it
is... You can't just drop that in casually.
He said it with a smile on his face. So I very calmly, I said, man, that is awful. And just to be clear, and then I listed off his 7-digit phone number back to him because we have caller ID at the radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
People never realize that. So, like, you're not completely anonymous.
So I'm like, okay, I understand, boss. So just to be clear, your number's 831, blah, 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 yeah. blah, 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 blah. And he goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. I go, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and call the sheriff's department and I'm going to let him know that you're planning on coming to my house. And he profusely.
What did this guy say?
He profusely apologized. The fear of God.
That's always how it is.
Yeah.
That's always how it is. I'm telling you guys, 10 times out of 10, people say these horrible things to you. And then the second you're like, hey, I saw that. They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I probably flew off the handle. Like, you threatened to break every bone in my body.
Well, it was over Trump, and he, so I understand, you know, and I was very cordial with the guy, and I said, hey, you know what, boss, I understand, you know, you got your hand caught in the cookie jar, things happen, but this guy yesterday, or this gal yesterday, they complimented the fact that I work out 7 days out of the week, and they complimented the fact that I have a Grecian figure, that I'm just brimming with testosterone. And then they said that they wish that someone would shoot me in the face, which, you know, which is like,
I doubled over.
Yeah.
This is, so, I mean, yeah, on the one hand,
yeah,
it's a compliment.
It is. In some ways, you know? So the thing is it lets me know, like, hey, you know, you want to shoot me in the face. It's, I understand. Yeah.
You take compliments where you can get them.
Exactly.
Like one time, this man who looked very troubled and potentially high walked up to me on 3rd and Pine and said, "You're so beautiful. I would make you spaghetti." And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm terrified." Kind of walked away, but then was like, "Hey, you know what? All right." One other man that wants to date me.
Wait, so he came up to you and said, "I want to make you spaghetti," and your response was,
"Yeah, meat." Yeah, meat. I did the very awkward smile when only your mouth smiles, but no other part of your face
is
indicating that you're smiling.
Yes. I mean,
just walked away.
So, but Stacey, I was thinking about it like this, because this is on my mind, and we're going to get to the Baltimore flautist who was fired from her job for her conspiracy theories. But when, so like I, my opinions are political, cultural, sociocultural, ethnic. I mean, it's all over the place, right? I'll talk about anything under the sun. Your opinions, by and large, on your show on 710, which is a great radio show, by the way. It has the veneer of being a sports show, but it's also very, it's very inviting. Let us just say, to people who are not inclined to the sports world. So it's,
If you dabble in sports, just stick your toe in sports, and then you're like, a little too cold. I think you won't mind it.
it's inviting because you guys are very personable on your show. So even though you guys do stats and stuff like that, it's not just like heavy-handed sports. It's almost like you're around a couple of buddies that are chatting about sports, and they've invited you to sit down with them for like 3 hours.
It's 90% us making fun of each other.
Yes.
And 10% sports.
So, you guys talk about sports. Has anybody threatened to shoot you in the face because you had an opinion about Cam Newton or about Brett Favre?
No. No. And I'm like, again, it just makes me feel like I'm not important. No one's ever threatened to kill me or beat me up or anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten people saying like, "Oh my God, you're an idiot. You're disgusting. You're horrible." Like those kinds of things, but never threatening violence.
Yeah. It's a real rush.
And I also think, well, and like, I'm like, there's a couple former athletes on the station. So it's like, oh, what are you going to do? Text into Wyman and Bob, where Bob is a black belt and does like jujitsu and MMA fighting. And Wyman is a former linebacker who's just itching for a chance to tackle someone at full speed. Like he's been dying for like 20 years to just lay someone out, but he can't because he's in the real world now.
Yeah.
Like you want to be the one to do it. You might die.
Yeah, and so one of the things that I did is I took down this person's phone number in the text line because it's right there. I mean, it's like, okay, so you're going to threaten to shoot me in the face. I'm going to copy your number down, and if it pops up again, I'm going to have to do something about it.
Right.
But it just reminded me about how agitated people get, and this is a perfect segue because I have a running theory that I talked about earlier in the show, but I want to run it by you about conspiracy theories. There is a Baltimore flautist. She was on the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, and it has fired her for basically a series of social media posts that spread explicit misinformation by questioning the safety of the coronavirus. Now, we're not talking about the actual data when you look about the vaccines around the coronavirus. We're not actually talking, because there is data out there to suggest that for some people, the vaccine, probably not the best choice for them. We're not talking about that set of data. We're talking about far out there Looney Tunes misinformation that I don't even want to go into at this point in time because it is exactly that absurd. Now, but some of this stuff is layered in with actual information that is applicable. For example, the efficacy of different face masks, which again, N95s, top of the tier, everything else, not so much. So this woman buried distinct misinformation in with actual information. And so this is my running theory, is that for conspiracy theorists, I think that they can't believe that the world is this inconsistent, and they can't believe that people are this inept or are I don't know what you want to call it other than stupid. And so what they do is they say there has to be some overarching nemesis out there conducting all of this ineptitude, conducting all of this craziness, and I will be the one, along with my friends, to find the truth of it. And I think that that's how people end up going down the rabbit hole with QAnon or even, you know, anything to that effect. The moon landing was fake. Someone actually texted into the show yesterday, Stacey Jo Rosh, and they said, is it a coincidence that 9/11 happened on September 11th? And I thought to myself, wow. Wow. Wow.
This guy's been sitting on this one for 20 years.
This guy's been sitting on that. I can't believe he's
waiting for your show to be like, someone needs to hear this. Light bulb went off.
I've cracked the code. So what do you think about my theory, Stacey Jo Rosh?
I actually really like your theory. I think because I've often thought of that specifically. I think the conspiracy theories people had about the school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, is the one that maybe is the best example to me, because it was such a horrific thing.
Yeah.
Where like almost two dozen children and some adults that were there, two teachers, but like little kids are brutally murdered. And it's something that I feel like the average person can't wrap their minds around, and you struggle to make sense of it. And this is what your theory is to me. The idea that someone would have such a hard time understanding how that could happen, that it must be a conspiracy theory that they're doing for gun control.
Right.
Instead of just being like, no, it was just this horrible thing that happened. Like this horrible thing that really did happen. And I think it's not a black swan theory or black swan event, which is like one of the more interesting kind of metaphors to me, but it's similar, where it's you're trying to, because you can't rationalize a crazy or disturbing event, you try to rationalize it by assuming that it is something else. If that makes sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense. And I think that for some people, this is how they get down the rabbit hole to end up talking about like the Jewish question, right? And they're going like the Bilderbergs and the Rothsteins and the whatever it is. They end up trying to make sense of a world that is just so chaotic and so nightmarish that there can be no other answer other than there is a cabal of Satan worshiping pedophiles out there who are draining the life essence from children and taking it back to their dimension so that they can live forever. And the dangerous part about it, Stacey, is there's a weird nugget in, like, for example, 9/11 truthers. There's a weird nugget in there that a lot of people have forgotten about that a lot of these 9/11 truthers kind of hang on to, which basically goes like this. The day of 9/11, there was a report of four men who had been arrested under the, I think it was under the George Washington Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. And there was a report that they had been arrested for placing C4 under beams, under support beams for the bridge. That report died within about 30 minutes of first being reported. And you can go on YouTube and you can find major Good Morning America, everybody talking about, oh, there's a new report out now about four men arrested underneath, I think it was the George Washington Bridge. And then all of a sudden it dies and no one ever talks about it again. And that weird little nugget of truth all of a sudden becomes the thing that I'm going to hang my hat on. Well, what about the fact of the four men who were found underneath a George Washington Bridge? And when you fixate on something like that, I think it drives people insane. I think the lack of a concrete answer can literally drive a human being up a wall.
Do you think that some people do this because they want to believe that there is a power that has more control? Like the idea that, like, things couldn't possibly just be random.
Yeah.
There must be someone controlling it and pulling the levers because it's almost more chaotic to think that there isn't.
Yeah. And I think that for many people, they say to themselves, like, well, it can't just be that like Joe Biden is a corrupt politician and a crony capitalist. It has to be that he's controlled by this cabal. It can't just be that, you know, whatever. Even people, there are also conspiracy theories about President Donald Trump that I don't think people realize. There's a weird conspiracy out there that says that Donald Trump actually isn't Donald Trump, but is a Donald Trump impersonator who had plastic surgery. And that is so they were saying that Donald Trump actually died like a year into his presidency. And so they found a Donald Trump impersonator. And that's why the tan line is always so inconsistent on his face. Because he was
because he doesn't exfoliate.
I'll
tell you that right now.
So that's the real conspiracy theory. Stacey Jo Rost, we're almost out of time. We've only got about 60 seconds left. But do you want to give us a brief update as to what's going on in the sports world in about 50 seconds with you going to training camp and then dialing into this show every single night?
Okay, so at training camp, it's really hot. And I've been sweating a lot.
Yeah.
More importantly, though, to your guys' interest, the Seahawks are practicing out there.
Nice.
For training camp. I'll do a real update, which is that some of the new additions have had a pretty good camp so far. Gerald Everett, tight end, had a touchdown today. And they're still kind of figuring out the secondary situation. It feels like cornerback is wide open. And today wasn't a huge day for any starters, but you had a couple guys like Alex Collins, who's like the third string running back, that had a really nice day. So no big updates on some of the stars that you guys know, but a pretty nice day for some depth pieces.
Stacey, you're the best as per usual. Coming up next, we're going to be doing a segment, Ask Us Anything. Any question that's on your mind, 98973. Any question that's on your mind, I should say, 98973, State Roofing text line. We'll take a really quick break and answer your questions with Lisa Brooks and Shane Peterson right after this. Is the State Roofing text line. You can ask us any question that your heart desires. 98973 State Roofing text line. Everybody's deeply upset about my conversation with Stacey Jo Rost on conspiracy theories. Lisa, I only have one conspiracy theory that I truly believe in, and I have a feeling that you're the only person in the building who's going to know what I'm talking about. Are you ready?
Okay.
I firmly believe, and many people make fun of me for this, but I firmly believe this because I have gone down the rabbit hole. And again, I have been mocked for this for years. People say that they don't believe that I believe this, but I can say with 100% confidence that I believe this wholeheartedly. This is not a joke whatsoever. Okay. I believe 100% that Paul McCartney died in a motorcycle accident and was replaced by Billy Shears. I believe that 100%.
Really? Did you see that terrible documentary that they did about that with the guy with the totally fake Paul McCartney voice?
Yeah.
Voicing the whole thing.
Yeah, but that was to throw people off the trail.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
Lisa,
gosh.
Lisa, that was to throw people off the trail.
I remember being in high school and it was like after some school musical or something and we played that record backwards.
Yes.
And it was like, what is it? Paul's a dead man. Miss him?
Yes.
Oh, man. It's a fun theory.
But it goes so deep because MI5 is involved because they were worried that if people actually found out that Paul McCartney had actually died in that motorcycle accident, that there would be mass suicides. So they found a guy, William Campbell, who was an orphan from Lancashire. And they his shorter name or code name was Billy Shears. And then they made him the new Paul McCartney. And you'll notice that Paul McCartney looks very, very different from I Want to Hold Your Hand to, you know, them on top of the roof.
Well, even if it were true.
Yeah.
I mean, the person who is Paul McCartney seems to be enjoying his life and fame so much more than any other famous person you can name. So if Paul McCartney, the actual Paul McCartney, actually did die, then I think who we got in place is showing us all how to live.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? We've been living a lie. The world has been living a lie, Lisa Brooks, for the better part of what he, that's supposed to be 50 years ago. I refuse to believe anything else.
Okay.
206 says, why do you mock someone's idea? Maybe you should actually stick your head down the rabbit hole one of these days. And you probably believe that Oswald acted alone as well then. I have talked about the, I'm not going down this rabbit hole at all. I've talked about JFK so many times on the radio. I used to do radio with a guy named Dave Michaels, world famous broadcaster. And anytime it could be the busiest news day of all time. And if someone, it could be anything. It could be, you know, this is way back in the day. So, you know, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, they're having a debate. We have all the audio clips. We have all the talking points. We know exactly how the radio show is going to go. The second somebody would call in and say, oh, yeah, I bet you guys believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, too. Dave would scrap the whole show and we would just take phone calls on JFK. And it always irritated me. So I refuse to talk about this ever again on the radio. Lisa, have you ever worked with anybody like that where it would be a call-in radio show and they were fixated on one topic in particular and you could be talking about whatever. A president could have died that day and someone would call in and they would say, oh, I don't know, whatever it is. They would say, you know, JFK was actually murdered by the CIA and the whole show would just go out the window.
Probably not like you have experienced. No, we always had pretty tight rules and call screeners that were under, you know, tough rules that they had to do this and this and this. So, nope, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Another question is best Jolly Rancher flavor, cherry, green apple, watermelon. This is Shane. What do you think?
Oh, such an easy answer. It's watermelon.
Yes.
Whoa. It's always watermelon.
Whoa.
The watermelon Jolly Rancher is far superior above most other flavors, but it is also coming in first with a close second being blue raspberry.
You are all, it's, how dare you, is the only thing I have to say.
Oh, well, I guess you like green apple?
No,
you're green a green apple guy?
No, that's the worst, right?
Wait, Jacob, chime in on this. Out of the three, what do you think? You're the only rational person in the building right now.
Watermelon's the best, then green apple. But green apple is close number two.
I refuse to continue to do this radio show. I refuse. I'm calling my agent immediately. What's the best lure setup to use sockeye salmon fishing out of a kayak on Lake Wenatchee? I have no idea. I have none whatsoever, but I appreciate the question, 509. Someone is calling from my old stomping ground, 714 Orange County. What are you doing texting this show right now, 714? Says, what was your favorite punk band when you were involved?
Nice.
I was obsessed with Dillinger Four for probably about 3 years of my life. The band Dillinger Four from Chicago, underground band. I think they were on Fat Records for a period of time. They were so clever with what they did when they were doing punk rock. I have never heard anything like it, and I have never heard anything like it since. And so if you ever get a chance, Dillinger Four, Situationist Comedy or Civil War are two of the greatest records, I think, that pop punk punk has to offer. Shane Peterson, what about you?
Oh, man, this is a good question. I love questions like this. I would have to say mine is the Bad Brains. I've always been a big Bad Brains guy. I don't think you could ever go wrong with the originators and the true promoters of the PMA, Jack.
PMA is an excellent one. This is a good one for everybody. Hello, Jack Stein. If you were president for one day, what is one law you would make and why? Love the show. Stay safe and have a great night. That's Christina. Let me think about this. Lisa Brooks, if you had one law that you could make and why, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Gosh, it would have something to do with sex discrimination and allowing women to be talk show hosts on Cairo News Radio or something along those lines. But I don't know what that would be, you know, equal number of women talk show hosts or something.
You know what's funny, Lisa, is that when they first asked me if I wanted to do a show, I said, yeah, absolutely. But I feel like, if you ever... you gave me like a co-host or anything. I know it sounds super sexist, but I'd prefer it to be a woman over a guy. And Brian was really amenable to that. Brian was like, oh yeah, that would be great. And, so me now 6 months later, I'm still waiting for somebody to come into my life and say, Jack Stein, we got you a co-host. So, Shane, what about you? If you had one law that you would make and why, what would it be?
I would make a law that any time in a public space that the song Don't Stop Believing by Journey is played, the person who is responsible for playing that track should be hung by their ankles for everybody to see in public. That's what I think.
100%.
Why?
I hate Journey. I hate that song. It is the most overplayed, irritating, garbage piece of music that has, in my mind, it has ever been conceived.
What is it about? I have a theory about that particular song, but what is it about that song that you don't like?
It's the repetitiveness, the blandness of the whole entire backstory. It's just, it doesn't cohesively come together. And every time people hear it, everybody's like, oh, I love this song. It's like, why do you love it? You don't even know why you love it. You just like it because you've heard it a million times. That's why.
Interesting.
Lisa, what's your theory on
this? This song takes forever to get to the hook.
Yeah. Mm.
And every other record that is recorded in this country by a major record label, you got to get to the hook within the first minute. And that song does not get to the hook until almost 3 minutes into the song.
Yeah.
Lisa, I love that answer. I didn't even think about it that way, but you are correct. I think that your theory has something to do with my hatred for it. I think it does, because I hate that whole entire buildup. You know what? I'm a punk rocker by heart, guys. Sorry. Make it loud, fast, and get it over with. Not Journey at all.
I think the other problem with that song is that outside of Steve Perry, the rest of the instrumentation kind of drones up until Neil Schon comes in with his guitar solo. It just kind of drones, the piano and the bass and the bow, 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 bow. It's so annoying to listen to up until Neil Schon comes in with that ripping solo, and then also... Steve Perry comes on with his wonderful vocals, and it's so unfortunate that he can't sing anymore. Lisa Brooks, I'm going to have to ask you about that in the next segment, because I've known a couple of people who've just blown out their voices, and as someone who does not sing, I have to know how this happens. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with the whole gang to wrap this up right after this. The nights are stronger than moonshine. You're going to go, I know. Trying to turn off the beep boop that happens whenever I get an email in Outlook, and I physically, this is way too complicated. Thanks, Microsoft.
It's called right click and then mute site. It should be on there.
How dare you? Okay. So Lisa Brooks, I have to know, for someone like the lead singer of Journey, who physically blew his voice out, how does somebody do that? How does that happen physically? You're a singer, as somebody I used to know. He used to always pronounce the G heavy. He used to always say singer or I forget the other one, but he used to say singer all the time, and it drove me up a wall. I had to do radio with him. How does somebody lose their ability to sing?
Well, he must be from Long Island, I guess.
From the shore.
From the shore. There's a number of different ways to do it. I've had some issues myself, but a lot of people fray their vocal cords, which can be awful. There, you can get a nodes on your vocal cords. You could even get tumors that can do it, or you can just strain it too much, you know, and you're just your throat becomes inflamed. There's a lot of different things. There's a lot of techniques. Some people stay away from dairy products for days before they sing just because they think that impacts their voice. I personally have had it happen during a solo at a church where I was singing just fine, and all of a sudden the voice left me.
Wow.
It just like went silent, and it was terrifying. So I don't know his particular situation, but it is not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't believe me, but I used to be able to sing beautifully. I was a member of the boys choir. That famous one that everybody talks about all the time?
Vienna Boys?
That's the one.
No. I the was Jersey Boys?
No, I was a member of the Vienna Boys Choir for many years until I lost the ability to sing myself. So I'm deeply empathetic to people who lose that skill set. Shane Peterson, what's on your mind, boss?
Well, I actually have some pretty exciting news. So I've
You're
always
going to be a mommy?
I already am a mommy, dude. Just depends on who you're asking.
Yeah.
No, I actually have found out that I now have an opportunity to get back onto the rugby field again.
Wow.
And it's not through playing. I actually am signing myself up for a refereeing course through USA Rugby. So here in a little bit, I won't be referred to as Sugar Shane Peterson. I will be referred to as a sir on the field, and people will respect my wrath and my decision making, whether it is U12 girls rugby or men's club rugby. It doesn't matter to me. You're going to be under the watchful eye of referee Shane Dog. So just if you got any rugby fans out there, you might see me out there, because I've been wanting to get back into the game really bad. And finally, USA Rugby is putting a seminar here in the Pacific Northwest so I can get certified. So I'm going to hopefully be able to make my way back to a sport that I love more than anything, and I'm just thrilled about it. So that's all that's on my mind.
Hey,
Jacob, you've had a long night here on Cairo Nights. How do you feel about operating the board for Cairo Nights? You've been in other high pressure situations. This one is no different. You know, do you feel like you succeeded? What kind of grade would you give yourself? Do you feel fulfilled in your life, like you've made good choices?
You know, I do feel like I have made good choices in my life, and
okay.
So that's good. That's yeah. I just want to get yeah, that out there for great. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I give myself about a B tonight. I think I could be better, but you know, I didn't do anything terrible, so
okay.
It's always a positive.
Okay. Well, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but Shane and I were talking, you know, off air, and, you know, we weren't going to do this on air, but Shane begged me to do it, and I said, you know what, I don't feel like doing it on air. I don't want to embarrass the lad, and Shane said, we absolutely have to do it, and I just want everybody in the chat to thank Jacob for doing a wonderful job here on Cairo Nights. It's been a phenomenal board op, and we appreciate all the work that he has done stepping in and learning the tools of the trade, as it were, because everybody start. Lisa, did you start as a board op, or were you always just kind of straight to the news with your sultry voice?
I was pretty much straight to the news with my sultry voice, and really yeah. admire board ops because I cannot do what you do. It
yeah.
is amazing.
Oh, shucks.
It's kind of like being an octopus on methamphetamine that you constantly having to focus on so many things. Who's that? 253. Is Jacob coming to nights? No, Jacob's not coming to nights, but Jacob's going to be the new fill-in guy, on nights. Cause he was the guy who stepped up to the plate and said he was going to do it. So we appreciate it very much. Cause a good board op is few and far between. They're very difficult to find. And, when someone is committed to the craft, as it were, it makes the show, that much better. And I could not ask for anybody to be a better teacher than Sugar Shane Peterson. Or should I say, Sir Sugar Shane Peterson?
That's what I like to hear.
All right. Well, I don't necessarily have anything on my mind tonight because I got 3 hours of sleep last night, and so I am completely. I am not even in this dimension anymore.
Yeah, get out, dude. Get out of here. Like, go lay down.
I was complaining to Shane on that. I've been like, dude, I'm so tired today. All right, so whose turn is it to sign us off? Is that you, Shane Peterson?
You know, I think we can. So, from everybody here at Cairo Nights, near and far, young and old, we hope to catch you again. Same time, same place, same station. Have a good night.
Perfect. See you guys tomorrow. I know they don't sound